Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you.
Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. We give you all of the praise. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory. And you reign in majesty. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, and you reign in majesty. Lord, we give you praise. Holy, wonderful, marvelous, glorious, omnipotent, righteous and mighty. We praise you, we lift you up, we magnify, we glorify, we adore you. We adore you, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and you reign in majesty. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. We give you all of the praise.
Him in the firmament of his power. There's something that just happened in the last few minutes where the atmosphere just changed. And I'm so thankful that when we begin to lift him up, put him out in front of everything else and above everything else in our heart and our mind and what's going on in our lives presently, the atmosphere begins to change. He is truly lifting us to another level, lifting us to higher places continually. He's like, come on, I'm bringing you up. I want to take you to higher places. Lift me up, and I will draw all men to me. Lift me up, and I want to take you to higher places. Places you've never been before. Take you to places where you can see things that I see. You can't see them from down here, but you can see them if you follow me up here. Come follow me up upon this hill. I'll be honest with you, I hesitated. The Lord spoke to me in a dream. He's like, come follow me higher. And I hesitated in my spirit, and I went to the other side of the hill. And I felt safer, and I looked at the waters along the seashore, and they were kind of choppy, but I felt safer. But the whole time, Lord was saying, come, I want to take you higher. I want to take you higher. Come back to the hill where I first met you. When I said with my voice, let's go up to a higher place. That's where he wants to take all of us every day. And our walk with him and our talk with him. That is absolutely, none of it was in my notes today. But I just felt, look, the Lord to share that with you today. We're going to go into lesson 7 on heroes in whom we believe. And I'm going to read part of the text. And we're going to go into a time of prayer. And then I'll have you sit down. And then I'm going to read some more. But I'm going to start out with Acts 2 and 36 through 39. Peter is a man of boldness, and that's what we're going to talk about today. In Acts 2, 36 and 39, it says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I want you to pray this prayer with me. We're going to pray for a prayer of boldness. I pray for a prayer of boldness to be released here in the next few minutes, but I also pray for the spirit of fear and intimidity to be bound. We need this right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that a spirit of boldness would descend upon, Lord, this your house here today, descend upon your people in these four walls in Jesus' name, Lord. We need you, Lord, in Jesus' name. There's been plenty of distractions, Lord. We've been hit, broadsided by fear and intimidation, Lord, in the workplace, throughout, in the world where we live and where we breathe and move, in Jesus' name, Lord. But, Lord, I believe, Lord, you have a specific word. You have something that you want to impart, Lord, into your people here today in the next few minutes, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, and you can be seated. You can be seated at this time. I want to continue on in Acts chapter 4, verses 9 through 14. It says, "If we this day being examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, he could say nothing against it." They could say nothing against it. It was something that they had a testimony and they had a witness of a miracle that just took place that they could not deny. Peter and John did not have their degrees on the plaque on the wall. They did not come from an educational background. They were not Ivy League. They were fishermen. They were men, just common men. But when they were in the presence of God, they were able to do things. Their whole outlook on things in life began to change. Sometimes we get to the place where we forget where God filled us with his spirit for the very first time. There was a focus that I had. I'll be honest with you. On September 13th, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. On September 14th, I woke up with a focus that I've never had in my life. You know what? When I lose my focus at times, you know what I need to think? Where was I when God filled me with the Spirit and I had to focus like I never had before? I need to get back into the presence of God. I need to get back and be refilled with His Spirit in Jesus' name. He is not too far away. A lot of times we just get distracted. Life happens. Things happen. You get a phone call. You get busy. Cares of life. We are all busy people, especially in the Midwest. I hear people like, "Oh, when I retire, I'm going to go down south where it's more laid back." I've been on the tollway all week, go up to Palatine. The traffic is insane. You get up at 5 in the morning. You hit Chicago Road and get on over by the Aurora Airport. There's people passing you 75, 80 miles an hour. Like, it doesn't matter what time of the morning you get to, whether it's 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's running late. You turn on the traffic report, somebody's getting an accident because they were trying to cut somebody off. And it's just, It happens, but what can I do to get back in the presence of God, to get back that boldness, to get back that focus that I once lost and had in Jesus' name? And that's where we are all get there at times, don't we? If we like to admit it, we all lose our focus. We all have times where we get distracted, we get hit, we get broadsided. Do you ever just have a good day and all of a sudden you're like, man, why did that spirit of intimidation just creep into the room? I've been on a job site and everything's going well, I'm getting along with everybody, and somebody will just kind of blurt out something and just try to intimidate me and try to belittle me, try to put me down to size. And I'm like, where did this come from? It's a spirit of intimidation. How did this happen? It crept in. If I'm filled with your spirit and my light is so bright, like Moses when he was with God on that hill, nobody could deny that he was not with God. You're like, put something over your face. You're glowing. You're intimidating. You're scaring me. If we could just be in the presence of God and spend more time in the presence of God, I'm preaching at myself. Please don't think I'm preaching. I'm going to teach and preach both here, but I'm preaching at myself. I can spend more time in the presence of God and let that presence of God radiate off me when I walk in the workplace, like it does when we leave here on a Sunday morning and we go into a restaurant and everybody gets quiet because we just left. The presence of God just went with us when we were right here and we walked to that restaurant. I don't know about you, I'm sure you can testify of it, that it's happened, that I've done this walked in a restaurant in Salmonok when 2/3 of the place was full and all of a sudden everybody just stopped eating. I'm like, what just happened? We were just in the presence of God. That's what happened. And that presence of God was still kind of radiating off of us when we left the service and walked into that restaurant. Boldness comes to being in the presence of God. Peter's natural boldness was sometimes an assault, but other times created problems. Sometimes it was an asset, but other times it created problems. After being with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit, his boldness gave him courage to declare God's word forcibly, face opposition, and claim the promises of God. Being bold allows me to claim the promises of God. Maybe I need to break through some barriers. I believe we all do at times. We hit a wall. I'll be honest with you, this weekend, I felt like, you know what, I'm hitting a wall. Brother Kelvin, do you ever get into times where you just start studying, and you're like, why am I hitting this wall? What is going on? I just need to, Lord, I need to break through some barriers. You know, a lot of times we get in a routine. There's a lot of other people. There's like, prayed for 9 other churches in town. They have their routine. But Lord, let this just not be a routine for me. I need to break through some barriers. I need to break through some walls. You got some places to take me that I've never been before. I don't want to get mundane. I don't want to get in this routine. But let the routine be, Lord, the presence of God is such in a mighty way where he demonstrates himself every time that we get together in his presence. That's my desire in Jesus' name. It's not a feeble faith. Over time, the word has attempted to tame the Lion of Judah. But in reality, Christianity has never been a feeble faith. This has never been an easy walk. You're going to face opposition all the time. You're going to have to push past the negative. You're going to have to transcend. There's people that have such a carnal mindset that are going to say things that are just totally like, it baffles me, but that's the world that we live in. They don't live in the world that we live. They don't know the God that we know. They don't experience this. I was telling the youth group this a couple weeks ago that I'm around some guys that I'm able to open up and have nice conversations with, talk to them about church and stuff, and then somebody else will say something totally perverted and derogatory, and the guy I was working with stopped the man. He goes, don't you know the church that he goes to, and he's a youth leader in the church, he's like wanted to stop the man from his conversation from getting any more worse than it was. Let it radiate off you. Let the presence of God radiate off you. Let it be comfortable to just say things. The conversations that we have in here and the experiences that we have here in the house of God, let it be comfortable. Don't let a spirit of intimidation keep you from saying some things, to keep you from sharing a testimony that God has for you to share with somebody, maybe in the workplace, maybe a relative. I have relatives that at one time, one of my cousins lost her husband, and I'm like, I had so much hope to believe that he would be healed, and she was so hopeless and so dead set. The doctor said there's nothing more they could do. And it hurt me so bad. My spirit was grieved. I'm like, you don't know the God that I know. You don't. Let it radiate. And I'm saying this to myself. Let the Spirit of God, let something overflow. Let's get past these barriers. And a lot of times these barriers aren't as bad as they seem. They're like a paper wall. You see this barrier, this banner that these athletes go through when they come out of the tunnel when they're playing football. And you know what? That's all it is sometimes. The enemy would like you to believe that this barrier, this wall, is something great that he has built up. He does not have a great wall built up against us. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It is a facade. It's a mirage. It is something that isn't as big and bad as you may think. It isn't going to take much to break through that little paper barrier for boldness, for our light to shine, for us to say things maybe we have never felt comfortable saying, but to break through, to transcend, to move past the negative. What would they think? What would they think if they believed some of the stuff that we've heard over the years? Can you imagine? The reports. What God is doing, he is doing in the church. He is doing on the East Coast and the West Coast. He's doing overseas. We should brag on some of the things that we hear as those missionaries experience and see. We are a united Pentecostal church. We are united, so we should share some of the united things that we experience as a united church. Because when things happen here, we want to make sure other people share these stories that happen in Sandwich, so we should share things that happen possibly in Joliet or even DeKalb when somebody was raised from the dead in the middle of service. That is something we're sharing. Even today, man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. It took great courage for Stephen to forgive his executioners while stones were being flung at him. Paul confidently confronted the leaders of Rome, knowing he was an ambassador of Christ. Peter did not hesitate to stand on the day of Pentecost to declare the gospel, even though there was a possibility he could be the next one being crucified. All the apostles suffered cruel martyrdom, with the exception of John, who was tortured and exiled to a barren island. These were strong, confident men who served God with a passion of life and sometimes in death. Confidence and boldness come from certainly, you got to have faith. There has to be faith in the equation. Paul said it well when writing to Timothy, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am motivated. I'm able to stay bold because God has got my back. I am able to stay committed to him because he is committed to me. If I am faithful to him, he will be faithful to me." In Jesus' name. Let's give out a hand clap. Jesus chose Peter from all the men he was associated with to be the primary spokesman and the leader of the New Testament church. Yet, it was Peter who received some of the harshest reproof from Jesus. What was it that Jesus saw in Peter? Peter was an aggressive and he was a bold person. He was eager to get on with the task at hand before anyone else. I would say he's a type A personality kind of person, a self-starter. Peter was not intimidated by other people or other difficulties. When called by the Lord, Peter immediately obeyed and followed. His quick response to obey and take charge was a valuable tool in the hands of Christ. He also had the ability to receive constructive criticism and to be molded by the Lord without being overly sensitive and getting his feelings hurt. A lot of times we get our feelings hurt, but blessed is a man who's not offended in the Lord. God is always looking for people who are aggressive, obedient, fearless to spearhead the work of the kingdom of God. And I'm just thinking about this, and I thought about this yesterday and this morning, of that poster back there of all those missionaries. They are spearheading the gospel throughout the whole world. It takes a boldness to have somebody go to Austria. It has somebody go to the, we had a missionary here where he said there was 5 million people in that country. I forgot his name. But he said there was no church. There was no United Pentecostal church in 5 million people. It has to take boldness, right? You would think it would have to take faith in God to be led by the Spirit of God. You're going to a place, you're taking your family to somewhere they've never been before. You're taking somebody that you married and say that you would love, honor, and cherish, that you would support and take care of, and then you go to another country. Lord, I will be bold. You will support me. I will have faith, and I will have trust in you. We have to have faith. We have to believe that God is able, that God has our back in every situation of our life. Don't pick and choose the situations. Lord, you got my back in this, but I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to push back on this area of my life. I'm going to push back on what I choose to say or what I choose not to say. But Lord, I'm going to trust that you have my back on everything. I'm going to be so bold as to say some things. I'm going to be so bold as to pray for some things, to pray for some people, no matter what they think. Some people in my own church may think I am out of my mind. Peter was with 11 other men. He didn't let that stop him. I'm sure there was some intimidation. There was some fear. There were some things like, I wouldn't even think of asking Jesus this. But Peter, he's going to go ask him. But maybe I kind of wanted to know the answer, but I'm glad Peter kind of stepped up to the plate and asked that question. Consider some of the opportunities that Peter's boldness granted him. Walking on water. The disciples were caught in a turbulent storm when Jesus came walking on the water to them, while the others were out crying for fear, being afraid. Peter boldly asked Jesus to allow him to step out of the boat and to walk on the water with him. Everybody else can be afraid, but one person's bold actions, one person stepping out by faith, will get God's attention. Walking on water. Who else besides Jesus walked on water, besides Peter? The one that wasn't afraid to ask certain questions, that wasn't afraid to worry about what somebody else may think on the left or to the right of him. He didn't let that influence him. His main concern was, Lord, I just want to please you. And I want to please you sometimes, and I'm going to cross the line at times. I'm going to please you, spiritually speaking, in the will of God. I'm going to try to please you carnally, and we're going to get into that in a couple of minutes. And we're all guilty of this, where we try to please God in our own ability. It's not in our own ability that we're able to please God. It's not even my own ability that I'm able to even stand up here before you today. It is only in God's ability, allowing myself to be yielded to his will, to let him do a work in and through me, in Jesus' name. He was an avid student of Jesus. It was Peter who boldly asked the Lord to explain the parable he had just received, when the other disciples were probably too afraid to even ask. Peter was an eager student, hungry for more truth. Explain to us a parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Lord, I don't understand, but Lord, help me with my understanding. Give me an understanding. And that's sometimes that's all we got to do. We shouldn't be afraid to ask for more understanding. Lord, I need wisdom. I need direction in my life. Lord, I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom come. I want to be a vessel for you to work through, Lord. And I'm not able to do this on my own ability, but Lord, I want you to do a work in me and through me. In Jesus' name, Lord. I don't know why you chose me or her. You could have chosen anybody else, Lord. But Lord, if I commit myself to you and I allow you to do what you want to do in my life and yield myself to you and trust you, Lord, you're going to do that work through me in Jesus' name. Peter was able to boldly declare the deity of Christ before any of the other disciples. His response gained him the unique distinction of being the one who initially possessed the keys to the kingdom of God. But who do you say I am? He was speaking to 12 people, but Jesus says, Peter said this, the Son of the living God. You all are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. The other 11 had the opportunity to get up and say something. They had the opportunity to hit the buzzer, to be the first to say something. But Peter said, you know what? I got this. I'm not going to wait for anybody else to look to the left or to the right to take a turn, but I'm in. I'm in with both feet. I'm in with both hands. I'm in with my whole heart. You can't have all your feet and your hands into any situation without a whole heart. Lord, let this mind be in you and let this heart be in you. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for somebody that just will have a willing desire and have boldness. He will equip you. If he called you, he will qualify you. And if he qualify you, he will equip you. He will give you boldness. Just ask him for boldness. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in 2 Chronicles 16, 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." All I need is a perfect heart. His eyes, how wide is the earth? 25,000 miles around? His eyes are moving around 25,000 miles to the east and to the west and north and to south, every which direction, southeast, southwest, northwest, northeast. His eyes are moving that direction. But for any individual whose heart is wholly towards him, he will stop everything and take notice. I'm so thankful for that. He had also had a carnal boldness. He said, even though Peter was naturally a bold person, he needed to submit to the Lord his take charge attitude in order for God to use him correctly. God cannot use our attributes if they are motivated by our own carnality. Fleshy ambitions get in the way and hinders what God is trying to achieve in and through us. Peter often demonstrated this problem. In 1 Peter, misunderstood the will of God concerning Jesus' imminent death. But Peter rebuked Jesus, and in return, Jesus rebuked Peter. And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Your carnal flesh and mindset is an offense to me." I want to please God, but if I don't stay in the Spirit of God, and if I don't have that mindset of God, I could cross over to do things carnally, and I could think I'm pleasing God, but he knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart, and I could really screw this whole thing up. But we need to allow the God to reproof us, to correct us. We all get derailed at times. We all get sidetracked. We all have good intentions, right? We all mean well, but we're all going to make mistakes. Allow God. God says, you know what? You need to turn to reproof. It's important for us, if we want to be used of God, to allow God to correct us. In Jesus' name. Peter, while watching the transfiguration of Jesus, as he talked with Moses and Elijah, suggested building 3 tabernacles. Another carnal thought. He thought it would be good to build a religious monument for each of the 3 heroes of faith. That sounds good, right? In my flesh, in my carnality. That's a great idea. What do you think, God? I want to do this for you. I want to do this for these other guys, these other heroes of faith. But with his thinking, it was at best a misguided and at worst offered. His theology of all that would be way misguided. God's immediate response was to elevate the preeminence of Jesus, which always should be our focus. Peter boldly took charge and proceeded to attack those who came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Peter failed to understand that it was the will of God had to take place and had to be done. This had to happen. Only as leaders submit themselves completely to God and his will can they lead people in the truth. We learn from Peter's actions that our natural gifts must first be submitted to the will of God, or they will consistently conflict with what God is trying to accomplish. It's all about the bigger picture. If we are not careful, our gifts will promote our own selfish desires and egos, elevate our flesh, and create enormous ideas that aren't God's but ours. Only by passing our natural abilities through the channel of prayer, fasting, and knowing the will of God can we humbly serve him. We can pray. We need to pray, but we need to deny this flesh and spend time in fasting. We're not here to make it a competition or to see how many days we can fast. But just, Lord, I want to give. I want to fast. I want to kill this flesh for you today because I want more of you and less of me. And it's easy to get caught up in a conversation. Well, what's your fasting schedule like? Or how many days have you fasted? Who cares? That is nobody's business but that person and the relationship between them and God. God may draw somebody into a 7-day fast. He may draw you into a 1-day fast. It doesn't matter who it is. It's none of my business. It's none of their person's business. But it's all about my relationship with God. I'm not here to compete with you. You're not here to compete with me. We're here for one purpose, and we are united in this. One of Peter's last acts of carnal boldness was when he told the Lord he would never leave him or forsake him in the midst of his trouble. He rashly promised that he would never be offended. The Lord told him, "This night, before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. But my carnality says, I'll never do that. Peter immediately spoke out boldly, "Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. In my flesh, I think I could do anything. But you know what? In your flesh, you're so weak. But with God, I can do all things through him." You know, we I don't know if you hear this, and I believe Stephen Curry's got this. I don't know if he's got it on his shoe or something. But I know there's other athletes that put these on their wristbands, and they got Philippians 4:13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." We need to start saying that to ourselves. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. I don't need to give this to the athlete, or I don't need to kind of rationalize this and start to use my carnal mindset and say, well, because he's doing that, well, he's not in the fullness of truth, so he's going to use this for his benefit. He's going to use something spiritual for a carnal accomplishment in his life. You know what? How many times does the enemy try to tell you you're defeated before you even leave your house? I need to get in the presence of God. I need to get on my knees. I need to not get up until I know that the whole atmosphere has changed and I know that he is with me. And when I get up, that the intimidator is intimidated and is terrified when I leave the house that day. That's when there needs to be a total shift. There needs to be a total mind shift. Lord, I need more confidence. I need more boldness. I need to get in your presence. I need to set more time aside. I need to pray. I need to fast. I need more of you and less of me. Don't we all need that? Every one of us. I need it. Peter had spiritual boldness. He was bold in his preaching. When the believers received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, it attracted a crowd of Jewish people who were there to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Many of those present had added their voices to those who cried, "Crucify him." It wasn't too many days later from the time when Jesus was crucified to the day of Pentecost. At Jesus' horrible trial and death, when the crowd began to make fun of those whose exuberant worship was marked different from their cold and their dead rituals and routines, somebody stood up with boldness, a man named Peter, and took the lead and denied and defended those who had received the Holy Ghost. "You're my brother and you're my sister. I got your back, and I feel comfortable in that, but I know that you have my back. That if something is ever said negatively, you're going to time out. That's my brother. Don't talk that way about him. Don't talk that way about her. She's a saint of God, and she's my sister in the Lord. The conversation stops right here, right now." It may take some boldness. It may take interrupting somebody's conversation. It may take interrupting somebody with a type A personality that thinks he knows it all. Say, "No, you're not going there. This conversation's over." Today, people need to hear preachers who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, who readily preach the whole truth, the only message that has a power to save the lost world. Paul said this, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." It was boldness in Paul, boldness in Peter, boldness in the apostles, boldness in the modern day apostles, boldness in Benny DeMerchant. One of my favorite missionaries, which I've only got to see on, I've never been to General Conference, but I got to watch some clips of him on YouTube, is Steve Woolaby. Just an incredible man of faith, a man of boldness. And listening to him gave me the boldness to even come up here at times when I felt that fear starting to grip me. And there was a man, a boldness that started to rub off on me. All we need is one person with boldness to step up in this place. And you know what? Other people are going to take notice. If Brother Al could be a man of boldness, I could be a man of boldness. If Sister Sue Ann could be a woman of boldness, I could be a woman of boldness. It only takes one. If somebody's soul would just catch on fire. That's all it takes. Lord, consume me. Lord, let this mind be in you, be in me that is in you. Lord, consume me, consume my thoughts. You know, a lot of times we allow the world to speak of what a demon-possessed person is. That one is so filled with demons and this and that. How about just being filled with the Spirit of God? Isn't that more powerful than somebody filled with demons? Somebody filled with the Holy Ghost? Somebody possessed? Lord, let you control every part of me. Let you control my thoughts. Let you control the words that come out of my mouth. There ain't no demon in hell. There ain't the whole legion of demons in hell can stand up against that. No way. What courage and boldness must have taken to preach to the same crowd that have crucified the Lord just a few days before, yet Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost and not fearful for his life, did not hesitate to proclaim the word of God. Spending time in the presence of God gave Peter and John a focus and a boldness that they never had before. And saw a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And I just shared this with the youth a few weeks ago. And Peter, the man of boldness, using the boldness that God got God's attention. But this temple, this ritual, this gate Beautiful, where all these rabbis come in and all this pomp is, where people are dressed up, and it's a really busy area. And there is this gate called Beautiful where this man, he wasn't just a man, but he grew up lame. And he was lame his whole life. And he was sitting there, and with a half-hearted look on his face, he says, you got any money for me? He saw the man, and he looked at him straight-faced, and he says, I don't know, have you seen beggars? Like, have you been in the city of Chicago in the last couple of years? They don't really make eye contact because they've been rejected so long that they're just used to it. Maybe somebody, if I just open my mouth, if I don't look at them, maybe they'll drop something in pity for me. Peter said, look at us. Make eye contact with me. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He ain't concerned about our money. He ain't concerned about our abilities. It's what he wants to do in us and through us. We need to break through barriers of boldness. I need to break through barriers of boldness that I have yet to break through in certain areas of my life. Not allow the spirit of intimidation to come in. If I am in the presence of God and I allow God to possess me, somebody that tries to intimidate me should just be terrified of the thought of trying to intimidate me. It happens. We all are around with carnal people in the workplace. Somebody that tries to one-up somebody else. If I could belittle Brother Mike on the job, I'm going to make myself look good. But if I could just stay in his presence. What if I looked at other people? And if eyes are the window to the soul, if they weren't looking at me, but they would look into Jesus' eyes. What if one time, Lord, I want to be so possessed by you. Not only do I want your presence to radiate off me, but when I look at someone, they are not looking at me per se, but they are looking into my eyes, looking right at you. Who would like to be that possessed by God? Who would like to not hesitate to even entertain that thought? Lord, I want to be so, did anybody have a spirit? I felt a spirit of hesitation that I even said that. Something made a few of us kind of pull back and say, I don't know about that. That's kind of crazy. But Lord, I want to give all of myself to you. First, I'm going to give my heart and my mind to you. And then I want to put my hands and my feet, Lord. Wash me. Wash all of this. Lord, I'm not just in this halfway. I'm not in this ankle deep. I'm not in this knee deep or chin. When I get chin deep, I might as well go under, right? For some of you ladies, your hair is already starting to get wet, so you might as well just go under. Lord, if I'm only half bold, Lord, make me as bold as I ought to be. Make me the man of God or the woman of God as I ought to be. We live in a wicked world that is unashamed to proclaim their warped ideas and beliefs. Boldly, some of their claim their right to openly live in sin and perversion. Sin abounds on every side, but God's grace much more abounds. I'm going to get through this quickly. I had no idea time was flying this fast. In such an environment, some people practice a modern-day version of Christianity that is of easy believism and realize no true conversion. Their message is watered down and weak and compromising and fails for people to overcome their sin. But if people are to experience true salvation in a conversion experience in Christ Jesus, they must encounter the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost, which lives in every one of us. If those who live openly in sin and those who pervert the gospel of Christ can be bold in their actions, how much more bold can I be in my actions? If I'm already labeled to be one of those people, whatever they may be, oh, you're from the apostolic church. You're the ones that dress like that. Yes, I am. Why not? You know what? Might as well sell it. If they already, might as well use it to my advantage. That's my sister. She's a modest, she's a woman of God. She is holy. I got her back every time. At first glance, us men, we may look like most of the other men out there, but we need to have the women's back in our church. When they're dressed in holy, when they are separated unto God and they are humble, that is my sister, and I'm going to defend them at all costs. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you need a touch from the Lord, I would encourage you today to come boldly. If you are lacking in boldness when you leave these four walls, I would encourage you to step forward today and come boldly. If we could stand at this time. If you desire for God to do a work in and through you like he's never done before, I encourage you today to come boldly. Let the weak say, I am strong. He is with you, he is in you, and he is always fighting for you. The revival that our world must have will be led by those who boldly accept and believe the promises of God and act on them. I believe in this. I believe in this truth. I believe what Peter did. I believe what Paul did. I believe what Jesus did. I believe what he died for. And I will be bold. I will not be ashamed. Lord, take my hands and my feet. Take my heart and my mind. Lord, let me not hold anything back. Lord, take all of me. Lord, I remember God spoke to me in 2011. I heard a powerful word from God. It was in my kitchen. And there was powerful tongues in interpretation. And one thing God spoke to me, and I can't remember all of it. It was so powerful. I think I went and started to grab the blinds in the window. I'm like, if anybody sees this, they're going to think we're crazy in this house. But the Spirit of God moved so strong that I put my head down. I literally felt like the hand of God on top of my head. as other people were praying in the house. One thing that I'll remember, of all the things that was said to me, I will be with you in your imperfections. God works with imperfect people. We are not perfect. He is perfect. But if we allow ourselves to be consumed by Him, He will work on our behalf. He will work in us, and He will work through us. He is not looking for perfection. It's something that we need to strive for. But it will not keep Him from doing a work in us and through us in Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful for God? Aren't you thankful that He transcended, that He moved past the negative, that He gave everything He had to walk down that dirt road? He gave all that He had. I want to give all that I have to Him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's come together. Let's spend some time in prayer.